Today is Saturday, the 18th of November, 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 108th session on Mindfulness for Beginners in the English Medium. And to our great fortune, we have Veeral Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero joining into the session, representing Nisaranavanaya Forest Monastery. On behalf of all of us who joined the program through Zoom and through the live stream, I would like to welcome Bhante with great respect to today's program. And I would also like to welcome all of you who are logging on to the session through Zoom and those of you who are joining through the live stream. Our program will commence with an in-session practice guided by Veeral Bhante, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness, and then we will go on to the question and answer session. So to commence things, I would like to hand over the microphone to Bhante to commence in-session practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. To start today's session, let's do a walking practice. For this, you need to find some space where you can walk comfortably, probably 10 to 15 steps. That type of a space would be enough. When you have this space, just start walking. And be comfortable in your walking posture. Walk back and forth in this space and try to be present with the walking body. When you try this, it is natural that initially you struggle to maintain your attention with the walking. That's fine. When you continue for a while, you start to notice the things in the present moment. The things that are happening in the present moment. Simply notice how the body walks. Pay attention to the sensations of the walking body. You may feel the texture of the ground. You may feel how the weight is shifted from one leg to the other. Just simply try to be present with the walking. Time to time, it's natural that the various thoughts, memories, future planning, these things come. Surrounding sounds, surrounding sights grab your attention. That's fine. It is natural that this happens. But with awareness, we can again and again return to the present moment. Notice that you are lost in thoughts. Bring your attention to the walking body. Try to keep your attention with the walking body. Naturally, your attention will go away to other things. Gradually bring it back. So this process we are going to do again and again. Repetitively, we try to be present with the walking body. That's what we are going to do. So as a group, let's try a walking session for a few minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can return back to your seats. So that's just a few minutes of mindful walking, just to give you an idea, so you can practice on your own. We recommend mindful walking, at least like 30-40 minutes mindful walking daily. If you can do, that'll make a huge difference in your life, especially in your meditation as well as the energy level that you'll feel. So try this on your own. If you practice daily, then you'll start to see the benefits of this. With that, Namantha, you can take over.
Much merits, Bhante, for the guidance. Next, we have the talk on mindfulness based on the topic scheduled for today. And I would like to invite Bhante again on behalf of all of our benefit to commence the talk. Over to Bhante again. Much merits.
Okay, everyone. So today we are having a new topic. We'll try to take some time to discuss what this topic is about. Now, the title is Fearlessness in Observing Self. That's the idea. That's the title. So let's see how this is related to our life and how we can understand the practice better with this topic. Now, it's natural that we may have various things that we are afraid of facing. In this life, we may have past wounds, psychological wounds, certain incidents that happened. So in a way, when these thoughts, when these memories come, when these fears come, we are in denial. We prefer avoiding these thoughts, we prefer avoiding these memories. That's how we try to deal with them. So this is natural behavior for us. All of us have various fears. They are identical to us, and we always try to avoid these things, suppress these things, deny these things. Okay, so when it comes to the practice, in a way, when we talk about mindfulness, we are trying to observe ourselves. We try to walk in a comfortable manner. We try to sit in a comfortable manner. And we try to be present with the body. So when we try this, we recommend you to take your breath in the sitting practice as some kind of a place to keep your attention. Then let's say in walking, we suggest that you bring your attention to the prominent walking sensations. Maybe it is the sensations at your feet, right? So this way, we try to observe ourselves. We try to be mindful in the walking and sitting posture, right? So this is our practice. This is our practice. And this is how we start our mindful practice. So when we introduce this breath, or when we introduce the sensations at our feet, sometimes we introduce as a reference point. We say that take this as a reference point for your attention. Take the steps, take the breath as the reference point. That's our suggestion, right? But when we think about it, actually, the breath is more like a launching pad. The steps are more like a launching pad, right? That's why we recommend these sensations to you. Excuse me, I need to take a small break. Sorry about that. So this is the idea, right? So it's better we understand the breath as a launching pad and the steps as a launching pad. Right? So that's how we are. That's how we take this practice. So for a beginner, we suggest that try to keep your attention with the breath. Try to keep your attention with the steps. Try to bring it back again and again. Repetitively, we are bringing back our attention to the breathing. Repetitively, we are bringing back our attention to the walking sensations. Even in our day-to-day life, we try to bring our attention back to the bodily sensations. Whatever you are doing, you'll have some bodily sensations related to that activity. So we take this body, the bodily sensations, as a launching pad. That's where we keep our attention. That's how we train ourselves, right? So this is to introduce the idea of mindfulness. This is just to introduce the mindful practice. But with time, when you mature in your practice, naturally, you start to notice that various past memories, thoughts, these things appear. While walking and while sitting, you start to notice that these thoughts, memories appear. Some people, they think that it's a disturbance to their practice. They think that the thoughts shouldn't be there. They think that these memories shouldn't be there. Right? But actually, now the practice is maturing. Now the practice is growing. So what we are recommending is that allow those thoughts to come and go. Allow those memories to come and go. Allow those emotions to come and go while you being aware that the body is breathing, while you being aware that the body is walking. That very willingness is important. In a way, you are allowing your own thoughts, your own memories, your own emotions to be there. Instead of suppressing them, instead of denying them, you just let them be while you knowing that the body is breathing, while you knowing that the body is walking, right? So this is the proper guidance when it comes to this practice, okay? Naturally, you start to notice your thoughts, emotions, memories. Naturally, you start to accept these thoughts, emotions, memories. That's how you have to deal with them. Don't try to suppress them. Don't try to deny them. Instead, let them be. Under the light of awareness, under the light of mindfulness, you can allow these thoughts, emotions to come and go. That very practice is important. Now, when you develop certain confidence in this practice, sometimes we say, just let the mind wander. Just let the mind wander and see where it goes. Usually when you allow the natural flow of your mind, when you allow the natural flow, you realize that it goes to places that you don't like. Maybe past memories are there that you don't like. Maybe certain incidents are there that you kept avoiding. So this is how we experience the practice. Majority of the people, they don't like this. They prefer that calm, some kind of a high state as a meditation. But this is the actual meditation. This is the proper meditation. In a way, you have to be fearless observing oneself. In a way, out of this vulnerability, your strength or your practice grows. In a way, when you face these thoughts, when you face these emotions, when you face these fears, you are vulnerable. You are vulnerable in that moment. So most of us, we don't like that feeling. We don't like to be vulnerable. Instead, we want to, you know, stand strong. We try to avoid them. We try to use various methods. We try to use drugs. Somehow, we don't want to face this. But when the practice matures, this vulnerability comes. That is a good sign that your practice is growing. That is a good sign that your practice is maturing. So we suggest that you just accept these thoughts, accept these memories, accept these emotions, and just be there. Be vulnerable for a while. And when you do that, that's how the practice is truly maturing. Certain insights come into your own life. Maybe certain things you kept avoiding them. You kept suppressing them. But when you deal with them, you realize, okay, this is what happened. This is how I felt about it. Of course, that process is difficult. The process you don't feel appealing, but when you face it naturally, you develop the strength in your mind. Naturally, you develop the practice in your mind. So that's the very idea that we are suggesting. Gradually, you have to allow the practice to mature. When these thoughts, emotions come, just let the mind wander. We are recommending this because you know where to come if you feel fearful. You know the breath. You have trained yourself to know that. You know how to return your attention to the breath. You know the bodily sensations while walking. You know how to return your attention to the bodily sensations that you have practiced thousands and thousands of times. When you have that confidence, we say allow the mind to wander. That's why I said this should be considered as a launching pad. Instead of a reference point, this should be considered as a launching pad. You start your journey there. You go into the sky using this foundation. And when you go into the sky, you don't have to think about the foundation again. Right? So that's the very idea. From the known, you go into the unknown. From the light, you go into the darkness. That very process is fearful. That very process is vulnerable. But that is what you have to do when you start your practice. Gradually know the foundation, which is your breath. Gradually know the bodily sensations. Gradually know the walking sensations. Use it as a foundation. Use it as a launching pad. That's the known area. The breath is known. The bodily sensations are known. But when the practice matures, you gradually move into the unknown. When that change happens, you feel vulnerable, you feel fearful, you feel like avoiding the meditation. But that same process will create strength in you. That same process will allow the practice to mature. It's going to be a struggle. It won't be easy to accept. It won't be easy to face. Some people, when they hear this, they think that, okay, vulnerability is good. So I must surrender and just walk into it. That's not how it happens, right? It's not me. And it's a struggle. It's going to be a struggle. But it's a struggle that's worth facing. Again and again, your mind fights back, trying to stop this process, trying to stop this vulnerability. That fight is there. But when you continue your practice, weeks, months, years, when you continue like that, gradually you know now the mind feels more and more comfortable going into the unknown. Now the mind feels more and more comfortable facing these thoughts, emotions of mind. that very process is what we call the practice. You are gradually practicing to accept these things. You are gradually developing the strength to accept these things. So that very experience, all of us, we have as the practitioners. Now, I met this person a few days ago. He was new to meditation. He got the basic instructions and he started meditation. So he tried to keep his attention with the breathing, tried to be there with the walking body. That way he started his practice. So initially he was complaining. He said that he couldn't observe the breath. He couldn't observe the walking body. That was his complaint. But with few days of practice, he says that I can observe the breath now more and more. I can be there with the walking body more and more. That comes with repetitive practice. Same goes for this process that I'm talking about. The fearlessness in observing self, that don't develop within a day or two. Instead, you have to gradually allow that process to mature. Naturally, that process will grow if you keep meditating, if you keep getting proper instructions. When the thoughts come, when the emotions come, let the mind wander. Let the mind wander because you know your bodily sensations. You know where to come if you need to. When you know that reference, when you know that bodily sensations, just allow the mind to wander. See where it goes. Maybe to the past memories, certain incidents that happened. And it will replay in your mind again and again. When the incidents are replayed, you feel the same pain. You feel the same fear. Maybe it is analyzing the incident from different angles, from different viewpoints. So most people, they don't agree that this is meditation. They think that this is wandering mind. This is not meditation. This is not proper. They think that they have to avoid this. But this is the very healing process that we have to go through. Mindfully, you are aware. You are probably not observing it as a third person view. Instead, you are simply there. You are witnessing the process that's happening. You are facing it. You are fearless. You are there with that process, the thoughts, emotions, the stories. You are there with them. You are witnessing them. That very witnessing is what we call the practice. Initially, you might observe yourself as a third person view. Right? As an outsider, you are observing. So in a way, there's this observer as a third person. Intentionally, you are observing. Intentionally, you are observing this process. But when the practice matures, this third person view disappears. Instead, when the proper mindfulness comes, you are just there. You don't have to intentionally do anything. Instead, simply be with that process. As long as you are witnessing it, as long as you are there, it is meditation. In a way, we say that inferior mindfulness, you try to be mindful. That is how you do. But when it comes to superior mindfulness, there's no doer. You are not trying. Instead, naturally, the mindfulness is there. You allow that process to continue. That's what we are doing. That's how the practice will mature. It won't take so much time. Within few weeks, you are starting to experience this. If you get proper instructions, if you write your meditation reports, then you can continue. You can allow this process to continue and see how this process is allowing your practice to mature. In a way, we are allowing this mind to wander and simply be there, simply witness it. When you allow it to wander, it goes to various places, various incidents, various memories, various thought processes. Some of them, there may be some images, some people, maybe conversations. So most of them create doubts. Most of them create vulnerability. But that's okay. That's the very practice. You just allow it to continue and see how it goes. Not within a day, not within a week. Just allow it to mature. Right? So that's the very idea of the practice. In a way, we have to be fearless in observing oneself. When we are fearless, you see that the vulnerability comes. Memories come. Thoughts come. Certain incidents come. But that same vulnerability will allow the practice to grow. It will allow the practice to mature. Even in your day-to-day life, when you are vulnerable, let's say somebody comes and, you know, accuse you of something. Or maybe due to something you feel so fearful. Right? So these are the proper moments for you to meditate. When you feel this vulnerability, that's where you should be meditating. Most people, they think that the meditation is that as long as you are comfortable, you can meditate. When you are in a bad mood, you can't meditate. When you are fearful, you can't meditate. When you are vulnerable, you can't meditate. That's not true. That's not how it works. Instead, even in your day-to-day life, when certain difficulties come, that's the opportunity for you to meditate. When you feel the friction in your mind, that's the opportunity for you to meditate. When somebody is coming and accusing you, that's the opportunity for you to meditate. When things don't go as per the plan, that's the opportunity for you to meditate. So all of these situations, they are vulnerabilities in our life. That very vulnerability, if you face it right, if you face it as a meditation, if you face it with confidence, then that will allow you to grow. In a way, whatever we do, we are risking something. Let's say, talking to somebody, right? We are risking not being rejected. If you talk to somebody, we are risking being rejected. But that risk is worth taking, right? If you love somebody, we are risking the heartbreaks. But that risk is worth taking. In a way, living means we are risking the death. But that very risk is worth taking. So as the practitioners, we are not avoiding living. We are not avoiding life. Instead, we face the difficulties. We risk things. Those risks, they'll allow the practice to mature and we'll be living more and more, right? Again and again, we are making mistakes, but we are learning from them and moving forward. Again and again, we are risking things. When we risk them, when things don't go as per the plans, as per the expectations, we feel vulnerable, we feel pain, we feel fearful. But that's okay. That's a risk worth taking, right? Most people, they are too naive. They don't take any risk. They don't try anything. They are just comfortable in their, you know, comfort zone. They won't go outside of it. But I assure you, there won't be any lasting peace there. If you want to find lasting peace, you have to move outside from your comfort zone. You have to move from the known to the unknown. Instead of avoiding life, you have to face it. You have to risk things. That's where the practice is. That's how the true practice matures. So that's why when you are meditating for a while, when you grow your practice for a while, we recommend you, you know, playing with this practice. Maybe you can go teach somebody. When you go teach somebody, then certain questions come. How can I explain this? How to explain this process? What should I tell them? Right? So many doubts, so many questions come. Most people feel that better to avoid teaching. Better to avoid telling somebody. But that very process, forget about the person who is learning, but that very process will mature your own practice. Your own practice. So in a way, we know this practice, we get to know it, we keep practicing. While practicing, we go out to the world and experiment with it. In a way, we become risk lovers and see how the practice is helping. How the practice is helping. You won't be successful all the time. You will definitely make mistakes. But it's fine. Those risks, they are worth taking. You learn from them. Again, you go out and see how it goes. So even for a monk, even for a meditating yogi, those instructions are there. Early in the morning, you go to the village, you go on Pindapatha, you go out to the world. And when you go out to the world, certain fears come. Sometimes certain things are there that you don't want to face. Right? You become vulnerable when you go outside. As long as you are in a forest, as long as you are in a monastery, you are safe. But when you go to the village, you are vulnerable. Right? But that vulnerability should be faced. And you have to face it. That's how the practice will grow. Then in the afternoon, return to the monastery. Go to a quiet place. Simply start your meditation. See how you performed. In the morning, all the incidents will come into your mind. All the wounds will appear in your mind. Right? Next day also, you go out to the world and come back in the evening and start meditating again. So this is the recommendation, you know. Again and again, we are risking things and see how can we learn more from this process. How can we grow our own practice from this process, right? So that's why know the practice, do the practice, then go out to the world. Go to your workplace, deal with your family matters, deal with the worldly people. So many different people are there. Some of them easy to deal with, some of them really difficult, right? But when you deal with them, you learn something. You learn not about themselves, but about yourself. You learn about your own fears. You learn about your own mistakes. And next day also you go and try to face them. So that's how we have to grow our practice. That's how the practice will mature. Right? So you can see there's a big part that vulnerability plays in the practice. If you don't want to be vulnerable, then I suggest that your practice won't grow. You'll just a beginner forever. But when the vulnerability comes, that's a sign that the practice is growing. Even in your walking, sitting, meditation, when the vulnerability comes, that's a sign that the practice is growing. As long as you are comfortable, as long as you are in the known, the practice is not really growing. That's why I get to know the bodily sensations, repetitively train with the bodily sensations, use them as a launching pad, right? When you are ready, and will move unknown. When that happens, you simply has to allow that fearlessly face that process. See what are the results facing that process will bring you. So that's the idea I want to give today. Thank you for listening.
Much thanks to Bhante for that excellent advice. And next we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Bandula Uncle to commence the question and answer session, starting off with the introduction to beginners, and I will share the screen for the slide.
Avasarai Bante, dear Dharma friends, as a beginner's guide to mindfulness practice. So you can see the two videos here, the basic instructions, how to do mindful walking, mindful sitting. So the practice is to start, you allocate a small time for mindful walking and mindful sitting. So continue the practice until you complete 2 hours of each practice. So then you move, so you get a little bit of grasping of how the mindful practice is. So then you move to writing your experience, the reflection report. So so you can write your mindful walking. So you can write in your report, so how do you, when you're walking, how the texture of the ground, the pressure point, how do you feel the pressure point on the sole? So the body weight move from left to right, left leg to right leg. So these are the your experience. You can write it. The same your sitting practice. So you can sit. How do you feel your sitting? The pressure points. So you, how do you feel your in-breath, the out-breath, the difference between in-breath and out-breath? So this experience you can write in your report. So once you write your report, you can forward the report to a report in this Google form. So just click the this link, or you can email to the email address here, beginners@gmail.com. Continue your practice according to the instructions given by Bante. So Bante this talk, Bante mentioned all the necessary instructions. So if you need the previous instructions, previous talks, you can go to Nisarnavanaya website, http://nisarna.lk, this link. So you can get download all the all the talks. So that's the end of the beginner's guide. Now I'll move to today's report. Bante, there is one report today. So I'll read the report, Bante, with your permission.
Okay.
Sitting meditation. Noted position of body, hands on lap. Felt cold air on back, warmer air in front, coldness of hands. Mind was full of inner chat, then went to breath. Noted cold in breath, warmer out breath. Pain in chest, noted. Anxiety in mind, an immediate thought that the pain is just that, and within bracket, not mine, and it would change or pass, which it did. Mind went spontaneously to breath again. The thoughts were less busy, some images seen and passed. Meditated for 45 minutes. Daily mindful practice. Walking, pushing a pram, first on even path, then on an uneven pavement, then in a park. Noted the left and right foot being placed, the surfaces changing and position of foot and difference in the weight bearing on different surfaces. Noted the position of hands on handle, the tighter grip when walking uphill, and cooler areas on the exposed part of hands and fingers. Observe the pleasurable feelings of sun on back and when walking along the water. Noted thoughts come and go, at times noting them as thinking of past, future planning, and mind then soon coming to the present, usually back to feet. At times went to breath. At one point saw dog walkers, some dogs not on leads. Noted the mind planning what would need to be done if a dog attacks the baby. Amusement followed at the anticipated reaction, which seemed quite violent, which was a surprise, and instead did metta to all the dogs and the dogs workers thereafter. Walked for 1.5 hours with much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. End of the report, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, if we look at this report, now you can see sometimes the mind is full of inner chatter. Sometimes the pain is there, right? Sometimes the fear is there. What happens if the dogs attack, right? So these different situations are there in your report. So when they come, we are not comfortable. When the mind is full of inner chatter, we don't feel comfortable. When there's pain, we don't feel comfortable. And when there's fear, we don't feel comfortable. So this is the very practice that we are doing. Although it is not comfortable, in a way we are fearfully observing it. Fearlessly observing it in the sake of the practice. That's what we are doing, right? So when the inner chatter is there, let it be. Let it be under the light of mindfulness. When the pain is there, let it be under the light of mindfulness. When the fear is there, amusement come, because you know that this is how the mind works. Unnecessary fears, unnecessary incidents, that's how it is. That's how it is, right? This is the very process of our mind that we are observing. That we are observing, get to know oneself better, right? When things come, we have to use the mantra. The mantra that this is not me, this is not mine. That mantra you have to use. Why do you have to use it? Because naturally your mind is taking it to be you, yourself. Right? Because our mind is taking it as me, mine, myself, we have to use this mantra. Right? So you understand why there's a need for the mantra. Because our mind is naturally taking these things to be oneself, to be me, to be mine, to be myself. Right? Because of that natural process, we have to use whatever the things that will work, maybe use a mantra. But when you do this practice long enough, then you realize one day you don't need the mantra. Why? Because now the mind is not taking it so strongly to oneself. The things are happening, but the mind is not taking it so strongly to me, to myself. Right? So that change will happen. That change will happen. So what do you have to do? You have to continue this observation. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to do something magical. Instead, just continue with this observation. When you give it enough time, then you realize now you can survive without mantra. The pain is there, but the mind is not taking it so strongly to be yourself. Right? That change will happen. We are on the path towards that change. Right? Now, since the mind is taking so strongly, you have to use the mantra. That's fine. You use when there's a need, But with repetitive practice, you start to realize, now I can survive without the mantra. Why? Because the practice has matured. Practice has matured. And now the mind is naturally letting go a bit. There's a distance in the mind. This letting go, this natural letting go, or this distance will create a huge difference. It will create a huge difference, right? And you'll have a comparison. Earlier you felt these incidents in a different way. Now you feel these incidents in a different way. Now there is some distance, right? Remember the analogy about a traffic jam? If you are among the traffic, if you are in the traffic jam, if you have no distance, then you suffer a lot. You are watching the watch, trying to get out of this place. You are thinking that you are too late for work. Various thoughts, anguish feelings come. Why? Because you are among the traffic jam. You have no distance. But imagine a person traveling in a small aircraft. They see this same traffic jam, but they have some distance, maybe a few hundred yards. They have some distance. So due to that distance, they no longer suffer from this traffic jam. It's a beautiful scenery for them. All the vehicles are perfectly aligned, arranged. Different colors are there. Different shapes are there. They are calmly observing, watching while traveling. Just another scenery for them, right? So that's the difference the distance makes. That very difference is important. But you can't force this difference to appear. Instead, what you have to do is that continue the same practice. When you continue the same practice, naturally the distance will appear. Right? So that's the idea I want to give.
I'm sorry, Bhante. That's the only report we received. So with the permissions, I can open the others to ask verbal questions. So now this is the time to ask if you have any questions about practice. So you can raise the Zoom hand. So then present the question to Bhante. Bhante, can I forward a question to you while someone waiting? So listening to today's talk, Bhante, I just got these thoughts to my mind. So I always trying to control the life. So I'm always expecting the good things to happen, not like unfortunate things. So even to me or to my close family. So I felt like it's like a more controlling the life. Rather, it's allowed to flow. So I feel this is the thoughts coming to mind. But I have listened some times ago a talk from Lokuswami Nuanse, that things will happen even if you control it or not. Things will happen by itself. So it has its own nature. So I would like to ask a few comments from you. Thank you.
Okay, so that's very much related to today's topic as well. Now, usually this is our natural behavior. We only want good things to oneself as well as the close ones, right? When bad things happen, we don't like, right? So this is how we are usually. This is what we do, right? But when you face the reality, it's not how it works. In reality, you'll always have good things as well as bad things. In reality, you'll have sickness as well as health. Right? That is the reality. So if you only expect good things, if you only expect health, then as a result, you'll suffer. Because in reality, you have both parts. You have both good and bad. You have both sickness and health, right? So as a result, you'll suffer. That's the only result it'll give, right? So that's why we say in the practice, we gradually learn to accept these things. That is the very practice that we are doing. Right, gradually learn to accept your own thoughts, fearful thoughts, bad thoughts, evil thoughts. Right, we are not trying to get rid of them. Instead, we learn the art of accepting them. When things don't go according to your plan, we try to accept them and see how our mind is resisting. So this very struggle is our practice. Gradually developing the ability, gradually letting go of the control. Right? It's not easy. It can't be done within a week or a month. We are so controlling. In a way, we are control freaks, you know. That's how we are. Right? So you have to, it's going to be a battle letting go of this control. It's going to be a difficult battle. A street fight, right? But gradually we are facing it. We are letting go of this control. So imagine when you send kites, let's say children, they send kites, right? So they have this string in their hand and that's the control that they have. Although the kite is in the sky, they have the string, they have the control. Let's say the string is broken. What happens? The child cries. They don't like it. Now they have lost their kite. They have lost control. They fight it. They cry. They beg. Right? This is how they are. But when you think about it a little bit, when you accept that process a little bit, you realize now the kite is going according to the nature. It no longer has control. It no longer has this string attached to it. Instead, the kite is moving perfectly according to the nature. So in this practice also, in a way we are trying to appreciate this natural flow of the kite. We are control freaks when we start. We want that string. We want that control over the kite. But gradually when you accept, you know that the nature's flow is perfect. Right? When you let go of that grief, when you accept that incident, you realize now the kite is flowing according to the nature. That very flow is perfect. You don't have to adjust it. There's no need to amend it. Instead, it is perfectly moving according to the nature. So that's what we are after. When your mind accepts losing control, then you are towards the lasting peace. You are moving towards the lasting peace. Even in meditation, let's say we are bringing our attention to the breath. That is more like controlling, right? That is the string. We don't like the inner chatter. We don't like the pain. We bring our attention to the breathing. Intentionally, we do. So we have a string in our hand. We have some control. But today's talk, we aimed at trying to let go of this control. That is why I said the bodily sensations are more like a launching pad, launching towards the unknown, towards the nature, right? So when you accept that, you realize the mind flows, the mind wanders. Allow that process to continue. That is the nature of the mind. That is the natural flow of your mind. Right? When you accept that natural flow, you realize that it is so comfortable. It is perfect. Right? Things are happening according to their causes. When you accept that process, that flow is perfect. Now, these days we have this guy from Kenya. He came to meditate maybe like 1.5 months he'll stay. So when he came, he had a Goenka background. So he has done some courses, Goenka courses. So he knew the practice when he came. So after discussing with him for a few days, I told him that let go of this control. Now you know the breath. Now you know the bodily sensations. Now you know how to bring your attention there. Now let go of this control. Let go of the string. That was the advice given to him. And after a few days, he came back and he says that the mind flows. It goes to thoughts. It goes to past incidents. Various things appear. I feel so comfortable in meditation. It's so pleasing. That's his experience. You let go of the control. You let go of this control freak within us. And soon you realize there's so much peace there in our mind. So much space is there in our mind. So that guy is saying that I feel so comfortable in my meditation because I let go of this controller. It feels so pleasing, the meditation. Who knew that the meditation is so comfortable? Who knew that the meditation is so pleasing? Only when you let go of that controller, you'll come to realize this. So that's the very process. Try to experience it in your practice first, in your meditation, right? Gradually, you can apply it towards your daily life. Now, in your comment, you were referring to the daily life, but try to practice it in your meditation first. That's where you should start. Let go of the control and see how the mind flows. Allow the natural rhythm of the mind to flow and see how it goes. Right, so when you develop skills, when you develop that skill in your meditation, naturally it will happen in your daily life as well. You'll start to let go more and more these incidents that happens. Let go of the control that you have, right? So, try and see.
So Bhante, I understood. Thank you for that advice. For the practice, so that's what is said, Bhante. So if you're walking, so no need at all to bring your mindfulness to the foot. So it's let it mind flow, let it go anywhere. So, and it let it be. Takes its own time to talk, whatever it is, and then when it comes, you accept it. Is that what you mean, Bhante?
Assuming that you know how to bring your attention to the body, assuming that you have practiced for some time, right? I know that you have practiced. So with that assumption, we say, let the mind flow, right? There's no acceptance if you let the mind flow, right? Acceptance is more like, you know, not allowing the mind to flow, right? Just let it flow and just be the witness, be there. That becomes your meditation in time.
Thank you very much, Bhante. Chamari, So you can now present the question to Bhante.
Thank you. Thank you. Abhisaray Bhante, it's about, I think this is a test that I'm going through of all of the mindful practice I've done since starting to attend these sessions. So I'm in a situation, it's not a difficult in the sense that the family member has passed away on Tuesday. It's more the kind of, as I see, the drama that is going on around it, and somehow the attention is a little bit away from the person's life, celebrating who they were, but it is more about people meddling in, including a monk who is saying that they were told what the family member had said, how to do what, and the last rites, and it has to be done that way, otherwise you're not listening to their last wishes. And the pressure got so much when the monk was talking to me all the time, picking up the phone and just basically not recognizing I am also trying to grieve. So I, when you said in your talk about the traffic jam, that's how I felt. I'm just there. Nothing is moving, and I don't know what's going to happen. And so what I decided 1.5 days ago, I think, you know, Wednesday evening or Thursday morning, to cut the string off the kite. And I decided to go to work. I have taken time off. And I thought, no, yesterday I just need some space, some breathing space, just change of scenery. So no one can call me. I just went to work. And that really gave me perspective that things will happen the way they will happen. And I don't have to control. And I said to that monk, okay, do whatever you need to do. The family also has a say in it. Let the family decide. I'm in the family as through marriage, but the sons are there of the person who passed away. So I you know, you speak to them. And I handed over the responsibility of what needs to happen. So there was no say for the family. It was, this is what the family who passed away had said. So it has to happen that way. So that was the pressure I felt, and I came right out of it. I feel a little bit better. And there are people in this group who knew the family member very well. So I'm taking a huge risk because I don't know how, what they're thinking. But I think I'm brave enough to ask you because there is no other time to ask. That's the situation, Bhante.
Okay. I think the most important thing in when you face such matters is to, you know, this ability to share in a Kalyanamitta group where you can share without any judgment. That is something rare, that is so important, right? Because what you experience, we won't feel it. Of course, some people would say that I understand, but can they really understand? It's your reality. You are the person who is suffering. So what we can do is just be the listeners, you know, listen to what you have to say, listen to how you feel, right? That we can give, that's the very purpose of this program. right? Mm-hmm. You should have some kind of a kalyana mitra, support in your life. If you don't have that, then it's not good for our life, because the bad influence is anyway there, right? Majority of the society, it's the bad influence, right? So this foundation or this program, we take it as a open space with no judgment, where there'll be ears who listen, right? So that's the most important thing I have to mention, that you have to share this, you have to tell about your grief. Don't try to hide it, just express it. If you feel like crying, cry. Do what is necessary to take care of your mental health. So what you have done is very good, you know. You created some space. Let go of the controlling, let go of the kite, because it's overwhelming. It's too strong, right? And just create some space for you. That is important, right? So that action you have done, right? That's the very step towards healing, right? Otherwise, we keep fighting. Now, look at the drama that's happening here, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody is having good intentions, right? They are trying to do good, especially the monks. They always try to do good, you know. Now in the evening time, we hear so many loudspeakers from the village. Everybody is preaching good. But is there good in this country, in this village? No, people are suffering, right? Even the monks under the robe, there is a naked man, right? So that's the thing, right? So that's why they say road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? Because you try to do good. But if you know meditation, you know that good and bad, both are connected. Both are connected. If you do good, that's the bad is the other side of the coin, right? So that's why if somebody is too caring, if somebody is too compassionate, if somebody is trying to do good all the time, you have to be careful, right? Stay away from that person, because definitely it will come back to bite you, right? So that's how the reality is. That's why as meditators, we try to let go of both good and bad, right? Now, if you take this new world, one of the new world analogies, now Batman, right? He tries to create good in this world, right? No bad, fighting bad, right? That's his behavior. But because of that behavior, the joke is not just doing bad, but he's challenging even the concept of good, right? So as a result, both are interconnected. Batman and the Joker, both are interconnected, right? So that's why they say you try to do good, right? And as a result, the bad will be there in this world. So the meditator, they try to refrain from both good and bad. Allow them to handle their work. Just tell them that, talk to that person, handle with them. They'll take the responsibility, create some space for you, right? Refrain from both doing good and bad. Just, you know, create some space. And you'll see the drama that surrounds us. So many people trying to do good, but they don't see their own shadow, right? So Jungian shadow, Carl Jung is giving this idea of shadow, right? Their own shadow, the dark shadow is behind them, but they won't see, right? They say that I'm trying to do good. You have to do this. This is what that person expected. All the things they are saying, trying to do good, but they won't see their own shadow. So as meditators, we just refrain from it. Just observe what is happening. Don't try to judge. Instead, just be the observer and see how this drama is happening, how both good and bad is interconnected, right? So that same process, that very process, will allow us to go beyond good and bad. That's where the true peace lies. That's where the true peace lies. You have to go beyond good and bad, right? And that's why Rumi is saying there's a world that's beyond good and bad, right? When you lie down on the grass of that world, there'll be no judgments. There'll be no good and bad. There'll be no small or large. Nothing is there. Instead, there'll be peace. And he says, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there. So that's the practice that we are after. If you hold on to the good, inevitably we are holding on to the bad as well. So that's what happens in this world. Your own experience is a great example of this same process. They are trying to do good, right? The road to hell is paved with good intention. That's the idea I'm to give. So take care of yourself. Grieve if you need. Cry if you need. Create some space if you need. Do what is necessary. And allow the time to pass. See the drama. Observe the drama. Right? Allow the time to pass. And within few weeks, you'll be much better. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you so much, Vante. Much merit to you.
Thank you, Vante. I think it's a time almost come to 8 o'clock. So it looks there's no question. I'll thank the Shamari sharing experience. And then it's a Vante would nicely correlate all the questions with the practice. So I'll wish the merits gained from this. It will helpful for Bhante's practice and the upright and the steady path. Thank you, Bhante. Over to you, Namante, to continue.
Thank you very much, and much merits, Kundula uncle. Thank you, and much merits to Bhante as well. So now we are coming to the close of today's session, and I would like to share all the merits gained through the session to Venerable Bhante, Homagama Dhamma Kusala Theru, from Nisarana Forest Monastery, and I would wish that these merits will have a positive impact on Bhante's own practice, and that it will keep flourishing into the future, and that we may also benefit from Bhante's own expertise in the future as well in this manner. Also, I would like to share these merits with the Chief Abbot of the Nisarnamani Forest Monastery, Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregama Dhammajiva Mahatheru, for requesting this program to be initialized and for supporting this program in this manner. I wish these merits will enhance Chief Bhante's own practice, and also wish Bhante good health and long life. Furthermore, I would like to share the merits with the wonderful team of organizers who are behind this program, and wish that these merits will have a positive impact on their own practices. And I would like to thank all of you who are joining through Zoom, and also some of you who would be joining through Facebook live stream. Thank you for joining our session, and also I wish these merits will improve. I wish to share these merits with all of you, and that all these merits will have a very positive impact on your life, on your own practice, and that you will get to understand the benefits, and also get the benefits more and more from going deeper into this kind of practice. So the program will be there for you next week at the same time in the same manner, and I would like to wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead, and we will see you next week. Thank you. I will end the Zoom session now.